Garsh, everyone, welcome to another episode of I Can't Believe Goofy is Fucking Dead. I'm your host, Russ Walsh. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alan Black.
Donald voice.
We gotta find some ingredients. And what better ingredient for a podcast about the seminal series than the scholar himself, the man in the mouse-eared cap. That's right, folks. Welcome to the show. Ravi, a.k.a. Professor Mickey.
Hashtag my mentor.
Thank you.
Hashtag our mentor.
I do want to reveal something. I don't actually own one of the Mickey hats. The only one of those hats I own is shaped like Oswald the Lucky Rabbit's ears. Because I'm a nerd.
Because you know where Mickey came from.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah.
Man, okay.
Because I'm very smart.
You know the mysterious Organization 13 member that we don't know who it is?
It's Oswald.
It's Oswald.
It's Oswald.
It's the Phantom Blot.
Oh my god. If we started seeing epic Mickey shit in the world of Kingdom Hearts, now that would be huge.
That would rule, actually.
It would
we don't know
seriously
yet.
Rule.
Is Yozora's world the world of JC Denton? We don't know.
Oh my god.
And they own Deus Ex now.
They do.
Square Enix, yeah. So anything can happen.
Man, I'm looking at some great pictures of the Kingdom Hearts people. I've got the Kingdom Hearts wiki pulled up in front of me.
Oh yeah.
Are you sure that you're not looking into a very Barbie tree or like with something with like wild fronds on it that's just poking you in the face?
I am looking at I'm sticking my face right into a cactus. this isn't Lee or Axel at all.
And the cactus is the famous Final Fantasy characterized the Cactar.
The only Final Fantasy cameo in all of Kingdom Hearts 3 until now.
He has his famous line, suck my cactus.
He does say that.
There's also Cid, the Final Fantasy man that appears at the end of this one.
Let's introduce this. So you're probably going, these three sons of guns, these three desperados, I should say.
Three half pints.
Three half pints. That makes a whole pint
a
or
whole
one
pint.
And a half
pints? One and a half pints.
No, it makes one pint. Because Sora can't do math.
Goofy gets spilled all over the floor. And everybody else is just the pint.
I mean, one of us will have to die by the end of this podcast to keep with the I Can't Believe Goofy is Fucking Dead.
I'm going to cast a Zeta Flare.
Alan's going to explode.
Did you know, somebody did the math on the Zeta Flare, and it's like something like 10 Google or whatever. It's like the most insane.
Yeah, it's like 100 times more powerful than the blast that Bahamut does to destroy the original Final Fantasy 14.
That rules.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, but like, so you're probably wondering, these three desperados, they have completed the three half pints, excuse me. I don't know why I'm so cowboy themed today. Maybe I'm thinking about Woody.
My favorite deputy.
Yeah, they closed the proverbial book, the 100 Acre Wood style book on the Kingdom Hearts franchise.
Who has already forgotten about us? That dipshit.
We have grown up and become full grown adults. But alas, Tetsuya Nomura, in his infinite wisdom, has reminded us via the DLC Remind of how good Kingdom Hearts can be.
It's true.
And now we, the three members of I Can't Believe Goofy is Fucking Dead, our very popular Kingdom Hearts spinoff of Hogcast Speed Delivery, the number one independent Sonic Pizza podcast on the planet, have gone on to, I think this is the last Kingdom Hearts we'll be seeing for a hot minute, except for we already have the, Xehanort experience coming soon.
Huh?
Oh yeah.
Huh?
Do you not know about this?
No.
Do you want me to explain it, Russ?
Please.
Professor Mickey, I would ask for nothing more from you.
Okay, so Alan, they announced, I think it was last week, that the Kingdom Hearts mobile game team is making a new game called Kingdom Hearts Dark Road. It was originally called Kingdom Hearts Project Xehanort, which is, no one knows what the fuck it is.
Sounds scary.
I think it's a reskin of the Crazy Taxi mobile game, but you play as Xehanort zipping around.
I think it's Shadow the Hedgehog, but Xehanort.
I mean, it's definitely a mobile game.
Xehanort already is pretty Shadow the Hedgehog.
He's basically Shadow the Hedgehog.
Mm-hmm. Every time the seven lights and 13 darknesses clash, he gets a gun.
There you go. Yeah.
He uses to shoot Eggman.
Yeah. There you go. You get it.
Alan gets it.
Yeah.
Alan gets it.
He gets a new vein in his head every time the lights and darknesses flash.
Drain the vein, baby.
God.
No, I would love to drain his brain veins. Just kill his kill this fuck.
He gets a new voice actor every time that
he's actually a good guy or he's actually a good guy or something at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3 or something. What was that shit?
Wait, he's a goat man. What are you talking about?
Oh, no, they remember they kind of are like, actually, Xehanort was actually an okay dude most
when,
of the time.
Yeah, when Erica shows up and then they hold hands and walk into the light.
Oh, I mean, okay. I just remember him playing chess or something.
Yeah,
like,
the chess game, yeah.
I thought he's still a bad man. Like, he wants to use the Kingdom Hearts to do something.
He did a lot of bad shit.
There's like 13 of him, so like, I mean.
Yeah. One of them might be good.
We'll talk about this more in the last segment of this show, but I just want to say that Remind is probably the last we're going to hear about Sora and Disney in a
while. Until PS5 comes out.
Yeah,
until PS5. And the only Soras we'll know in terms of Disney is if we all ride on Soarin' Over the World, and then we'll be a bunch of Soras. Sorers.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So. I love these California.
Hey, Sora.
I love these California orange scent. They blast in my face and we're soaring over California.
We're a theme park podcast now.
Yeah, no, totally.
They're going to meet Rocket Raccoon and he's going to scan your hands.
Sora, I need you to hold up your hands because for me, they won't scan these hands.
Got to get on the gantry lift.
I would be much more excited for a Kingdom Hearts game where all they visit different Disney rides. I just want to fight Heartless in the world of that one weirdly accurate Disney game that's on Xbox for some reason.
Oh, the Disneyland Adventure.
Disney Adventure or something.
Yeah.
I think here's something. Well, we can get into like speculation later, but I think when Kingdom Hearts 4 drops in 10 years, whenever Professor Mickey is in his mid-30s and a married man, whenever that happens.
That's not that far off, I guess.
That'll be 10 years from now. You'll be in your mid-30s. Yeah. The married thing's going to happen in like less than a year, but still. You know, when we're all like old and dying and when we're in our mid-30s, he is going to meet a Marvel character.
Yeah.
He will.
He will meet a Star Wars. He's going to meet Baby Yoda.
Or
Babu Frick,
any of those things.
Yeah, I mean the dequels at this point, people will just consider them like direct to DVD Disney movies.
I think what's gonna happen is Babu Frick is going to be hanging out with Chip and Dale, and he's gonna work on the gummy ship.
Oh man, that'd be so good.
He's gonna pop up and he's gonna be like, "Hey,
Alan,
struggle!
Don't get my hopes up."
He's gonna just walking around Twilight Town.
Eventually, the king, since you know they're not doing episodes for the dequels, the Disney sequels of Star Wars, I think the next Kingdom Hearts could just be a Star Wars film. Star Wars, Kingdom Hearts, whatever, you know,
you might do another ride attack, but it's like, you know, Rise of the Resistance or something. Like, you might a big AT-AT pops up and like shoots at somebody. That would actually be really cool. You should be able to do like a Star Wars, like. Roller coaster ride, like attack on somebody.
We should probably start talking about the contents of Remind, the new DLC that just dropped for Kingdom Hearts about a week ago. And I guess just to be this new game or this new Remind
DLC,
yes, it's kind of serves as the final mix kind of equivalent for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, I think it's exactly that.
Yeah, it's a free you get the benefits for free of the base game.
Yeah.
Where you basically get you get an update that does all the tweaks to the gameplay and graphics and certain levels and clean stuff up. It kind of is the final, you know, mastering of the game, if you will.
And I think the two Keyblades, Oathkeeper and Oblivion, are both also free and not
just,
how do you can you get those, or is those just the ones that
so Oathkeeper is you have to get all the hidden, the not the hidden Mickeys, what are they fucking called, the lucky emblems,
Oswald the lucky emblem,
and then to get Oblivion you have to beat Critical Mode.
Oh, this sucks. I'm not going to do either one of those. Not going to do either. That seems harder than getting the ultimate weapon. I don't want to do either one of those.
It is way harder than getting the ultimate weapon.
Because the ultimate weapon, you only have to get like 80 of the 90, right? Like, you don't even have to find
all. I don't think you have to find all of them, but there are the mini games are
the hard part. Well, you mean hanging out with those Flan guys and I was hoping that I was hoping I could just like abuse that the Moogle postcard thing and just hopefully
I did that.
Can you get all seven or a Chalcom that way?
No, you can only get the one.
Oh, fuck that then.
In my day, you just had to swing your keyblade in a cave long enough, and you'd eventually get an Aura Calcum or something.
Yeah, actually, yes.
I wish it was like that. Like, I would do it. I would do those battle gates. I would grind those out for like 5 hours if I could do it. But
we are not in Remind discussion yet. But when I did Ultima Weapon and got Sora to level 99, it took me about 6 hours total to do both of those things. It did not take me.
I thought about. I really did think about doing all this because I was like, you know, how great would it be if I popped up and now it's like, now Ravi's like hashtag my mentor to me because I'm the master now. I've got the mark of mastery.
Those fights are so fucking hard.
But it sucks though. It's like bad. I didn't like playing it.
Alan, I just got a letter from Kingdom Hearts University. You're Ombudsman Yen Sid now.
Whoa. I'm Assistant Professor Yen Sid.
Yeah, yes.
Hashtag our mentor.
Oh, yes. Man.
Okay, I was so excited.
Get us back on track here.
Yeah, so there was the free update. We talked about that. You can get all that stupid shit. You can get the fucking swords from the other game. Mm-hmm. By the time you get it, you will have already beaten the game, so I guess you can replay it and, like, fucking kill Davy Jones
aren't
even
those
harder
rock,
now.
Aren't those Roxas's Keyblades?
They were in Kingdom Hearts 1. Like, the Oathkeeper keychain is the... it's like the lucky charm that Kyrie made in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're Sora's Keyblades, but Roxas has them because he's a Sora.
He's a Sora type.
He's a Sora face.
Yeah.
Same face, motherfuckers.
Xemnas voice. How can one even own something if one does not exist?
Exactly.
It's true.
Yeah. It's true. Shout out to all the gamers
out
there.
He's so right.
I'm looking at this wiki and it says here the main DLC adds the Remind scenario, the Limit Cut episode with 13 additional bosses who all
sure
suck.
Fucking did.
The secret episode with an additional secret boss who is made for like a crazy person to beat because he works. Uh-huh.
Perverts.
For horny perverts that are like even at level 99 it will take you.
It doesn't make it any easier.
I watched a guy take 20 goddamn minutes to beat this fucking monster.
Perverts are people who are like, Kingdom Hearts is jazz of the JRPG, baby. It's about the magic you don't cast.
This was like a extended like prog rock song that I was just like sitting
it's
through. It was like King Crimson was here just like wailing
it's wild.
It is like technically more impressive than like any music or anything I've ever seen in my life that this guy is like, in this final secret boss, if you get hit like once, he will like immediately just drain all your health.
You're done.
He will shoot you with a million guns and swords, and it's a hellish thing. A lot of this guy just seemed to like get tired at one point, and would just do like the Lion King power, just like run around. He's like, I guess I can't get hurt this way.
I can't be hurt as a lion.
I can rest my hands.
Like a service pet, you can't get damaged if you have one.
I can bring Simba on the plane with me.
No psychic damage. Yeah. So I guess we should talk through these new little episodes.
But what about the data greeting?
The data greeting is so good. Have you
what
seen
is the data greeting? What is greeting? The
data greeting? Data greeting is the photo mode where you can like
pose characters,
like the characters and props and shit.
Oh, so it's like if you hold, if you wait 2 minutes until 2 minutes are left on that one part of Metal Gear Solid 4, you can take horny pictures of the Beauty and the Beast squad.
Yeah, something
kind
that,
of, but
something that happened to me when I played MGS4 the first time and I was fighting Laughing Octopus. And I accidentally did that. I'm like, what happened? What's going on?
And then, of course, you immediately start taking photos of her because
you're like,
that's
well,
how I would be.
That's how I be.
Now.
And then I was worried that the cops would get called on me just like when I played Gex 3.
Do you remember in MGS4 how you could get the masks of the Beauty and the Beast core, and then you would like you'd still have Snake's body, but you would have like a model lady.
Yeah, that was cool. You'd have a Yeah, I also remember how you could wear the Octo Camo mask and they wouldn't take it off during the cutscenes, so
yeah.
You'd just be wearing like a sock on your head.
Yeah.
Man, what a
what
good
a game.
Cool game. This
cool
ties
game.
Into something that happens later on
oh,
in the DLC.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also there's a premium menu in part of the DLC.
Yeah, I have messed around with that a little bit, the premium menu, the easy codes and the pro codes, because when I started my critical mode playthrough, there are a bunch of codes you can just turn on to make the game incredibly easy, like one hit kill and auto dodge and auto block and all that stuff. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it playable if you're bad at the game.
Right. There's also the Kingdom Hearts Orchestra World of Trace Osaka
I
performance.
Bought that because yes. I'm me, because of course I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you? Yeah. Should we go and should we review that first, Ravi? Was that worth the extra $10?
Probably it depends if you're me.
You're a normal person.
If you're a normal person, fuck no. But if you're me,
wasn't
absolutely.
There a VR? Wasn't
Let
there a VR
see.
Concert at one point?
The VR concert was just Utada Hikaru singing the theme song. And
Don't Think Twice.
Yeah, and then also Hikari / Simple and Clean. Russ watched that with me. Like we watched
yeah.
it.
What's the name? What's the name of this concert again?
Which one?
The one that you just purchased for the
world,
extra $10.
World of Trace.
Yeah, World of Trace Leches.
Yeah.
World of. I'm trying to see if it's been uploaded to
Pornhub
YouTube yet. Pornhub.
You can they'll put it in the VR section of Pornhub. You can just watch
yeah.
everything there.
Yeah.
The music's available, but it I think it truly is only on PlayStation. So
hey, who the wild. Fuck is Yuffie?
Oh,
we'll get into that.
We'll get into that.
Okay. So let's go into Remind proper, the Remind scenario.
Uh-huh.
As I remember, it opens after the plot of Kingdom Hearts 3.
Actually, it does not.
That's right. I forgot about the goats. I forgot about the goats. I should probably have this. I read
so,
the...
So it starts with that one scene in the Hercules level where Maleficent and Pete are digging up looking for the black box.
The Pandora's box,
Zigbar's,
right?
Yeah. Zigbar's there watching them, and he's like, these fucking idiots don't know what the box is. And then
yeah.
Luke Sword shows up and is like, hey... I'm all like, why are you looking for this fucking box? And he's
right.
Yeah, that thing, yeah. But go ahead.
I forgot about that. That was like
yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to young Xehanort, right?
Yes.
About to take his Mark of Mastery exam. And he's Xehanort's feeling glum and a little down. Cause he's like, I have the power to change the world, but I don't know what to do with it or something like that. Right.
Something like that. Yeah.
I feel like
he
Mayor Pete.
Saying shit. He was a real Mayor Pete. He felt like he
Mayor
had
Pete.
To be present.
High
he
hopes.
Could be, but he didn't
he had
know
high, high
what
hopes.
He would. He had high, high hopes.
He just went rat mode too hard.
And then he met a fucking, giggly fuck.
The master of masters.
The mom. Yeah. Yeah. And the mom told young Xehanort his name. Young Xehanort went like, "What? Why? I like that his name's Young Xehanort. It sounds like Kevin
Young
Sheldon.
Xehanort.
That's isn't that your rap name, Robbie?
Yes, it is.
I I mean, if you mumbled the dialogue in Kingdom Hearts, it would sound sound like a pretty fucking sweet track.
It would be pretty good. Can we become SoundCloud Kingdom Hearts rappers?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Young Xehanort.
I could be
Lil Demix.
Yeah, Lil Demix.
Demix time.
Oh man.
Okay, you could be Lee World.
Oh man.
Or Isa King or something.
It's,
I don't
it's,
know.
It's lean, but like the N is like tiny, so it just says Lee.
Or if we're keeping it the Kingdom Hearts, it would be like just the little N symbol on a calculator.
Yeah, it's gonna be that.
to the N power, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow. So now we go to after Kingdom Hearts 3. Sora's all threatened because his lady friend, Kairi, has been sacrificed.
That feel with no GF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feel with no GF.
That feel with no GF.
I remember when my girlfriend got turned into dust.
Turned into crystals, and you had to go pick up some fragments.
You had to use the power of waking.
Yeah.
I hate using the power of waking.
Can you
explain, Ravi, why it is called the power of waking?
I don't think I can.
What about
I don't
what if,
I don't they I don't exp- think I know
they say what it does, like it's the power to like connect hearts or something, right?
It is the power to free a heart from its sleep,
so that's why it's called waking.
But
why is he able to go back in time and change things?
Okay, all right,
I know,
so
you can go back in time if you become a heart, like hearts go travel through time.
There's a video game called Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance,
yes,
and that is the original the first time they mention the power of waking. Mm-hmm. And basically in that game, Sora and Riku are journeying to sleeping worlds to wake them up.
Interesting.
Right.
And that is the first time they use the power of waking. That had nothing to do with time travel in that one.
Okay.
Until the end of the game, when like you learn that you can use the power of waking to travel back in time, as long as you have your younger self waiting to like
to accept
you
to receive your heart to jump inside of you.
Yes, exactly. It's like
this is very like, much like Sabrina season 3.
It's a lot like that, but Russ won't know what we're talking about if we talk about that.
I don't really know what you're talking about
to,
when we're talking.
You
about
have to get a
parts,
that's you also have to true. Get a Cthulhu egg out of the lake.
You have to get a Cthulhu and you have to drink the water, pour the water on your body, and go.
You have to use like a dead guy's shoes or whatever the fuck, and do a cheerleading routine to give your coven the power.
Exactly.
The Elder Ones in this world is just Xehanort.
Yeah,
is Xehanort the oldest character in the history of the Final Fantasy, or like in the larger Square franchise?
I feel
because
like maybe
he is 95 years old.
There's also there's an evil pope in Final Fantasy 13 who is similarly very old, and also just
isn't Emil from Nier probably older than him.
I was talking with a friend about this, but Orin is only like 35 years old.
Yeah,
he looks like
shit.
He looks like in the world of Final Fantasy, once you hit like 25, like my age, it's somebody who looks like a divorced dad at age 25.
You might be the same age as Sid, Russ.
you might be a Kingdom Hearts or Final Fantasy character.
Let me see how old Sid is, and he's probably like 28.
How old is Sid?
From specifically Sid Highwind from Final Fantasy.
34. Whoa. No.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Oh wait, hold on. That's Sid in Final Fantasy 14. He is. Wait, is that the different Sid?
Okay, in Final Fantasy VII, Sid is
32.
What the
which
fuck?
Is worse, I think.
Barrett's 35, and he has like a
18-year-old
daughter.
No way.
Yeah, this is doo-doo. I don't think anybody looks like this.
They don't know how anybody looks.
These motherfuckers don't moisturize.
Xehanort's looking thin. He's looking trim. He looks good.
He's voiced by Christopher Lloyd now.
Oh God!
Oh dear Lord. Anyway, so Kairi has been sacrificed and turned into a crystal or some shit. Yeah. Sora has to use the power of waking, which allows him to travel through time and space.
There's a specific reason why she was turned into a crystal, though.
Because she's one of the princesses, right?
Yes, and it's a backup plan. in case the original plan doesn't
work. How is she supposed to? I know that she has the special crystal heart because she's a princess.
So originally, Xehanort's plan is to have the Guardians of Light and the Secrets of Darkness clash, and that will work to summon the Keyblade.
Well, didn't that already happen? Like as soon as they tried to stop them from him crystallizing Kairi.
But he doesn't summon the Keyblade until the very, when Sora and Master Xehanort fight.
Gotcha.
When he's able to summon the Keyblade.
Do the heroes of light have to fight to save Roxas and shit?
No, they don't. So the reason they weren't gonna fight Master Xehanort at the end, or that last fight with young Xehanort and Ansem, Seeker of Darkness, and Xemnas, they weren't gonna fight them until Master Xehanort took Kairi hostage.
Gotcha.
And fucking cut her in half.
Now you have to fight me. Right? Because
now
otherwise,
exactly.
Because it is basically a really shitty scenario. That's like, well, how come it's like if we try to beat this guy up, it's like, well, yeah, I win now.
Yeah, exactly. So
why don't they get the key to fight him? Clash.
I have no idea. That's a great fucking question.
Because he just has 13 of these big eyeball keys.
I think only the Seekers of Darkness can claim, or I guess anyone can claim it, but like.
I mean, the keys look evil, so it makes sense that they'd be able to claim them. They got scary eyes.
But the backup plan was that he was going to keep Kairi crystallized, or her pieces of heart scattered around so that he could reforge them and then use the princess.
Signa Aed Kellum?
Yeah, and Scala Aed Kellum. Yeah.
Scala Aed Kellum.
Oh, my favorite place in the game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I just love flying around.
But yeah, there was a point to him turning her into crystal. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so Sora's hopping and jumping around.
When is he not?
I know, am I right, folks? We meet him back at the we meet Sora jumping through, rewatching the ending of the last game with minimal to no changes. Except occasionally it will go to Sora standing on one of the heart grids. What do you call that?
Stained glass.
Heart stations is what they're called.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I know a lot of dumb shit.
So every world has a heart, but your heart is its own world called a heart station.
Yeah.
Now hold on. Every world has a heart, but I get that your heart's your own world. I get that a heart is its own world. But what do you mean by every world has a heart?
Okay, the plot of Kingdom Hearts 1 is that every world has a heart that can be sealed by a keyblade or a key.
And you've mentioned them waking up these slumbering worlds or the hearts of these worlds or whatever the fuck.
Okay.
And Kingdom Hearts is the heart of all worlds.
Oh.
It's the galaxy heart.
We were going to talk about this later, but my theory about Kingdom Hearts is that is the genesis of all of those worlds. It can turn ideas into real things.
Right.
Like real places you can visit.
So Scala Aed Kellum. Is that how you pronounce it? I should probably look up the...
Scala Aed Kellum.
Yeah, Scala Aed Kellum is a manifestation of Xehanort.
It's the world he created.
Right, based on the world he grew up. With.
Yes. As young Xehanort when he's playing chess or whatever the fuck. Yeah.
Yes.
And he does Inception bullshit with it.
Yeah.
He does like a doc. And he does cool. Doctor it Strange. Cool. It's pretty cool.
Looks cool.
He gets goat armor.
And so you basically are hopping and jumping around. You're redoing the Xemnas fight and shit. If you're like basically all three of us, you have not played the game in a year, and then you're at the end game again.
You're like, how do I do this?
I assume you're like, let's get ready to re-experience the magic of Kingdom Hearts 3 and just start from the beginning and go all the way to.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
I've just got to replay that Frozen level again.
Oh my god, gotta find those fucking parts of Olaf all over.
I gotta find all those goddamn crabs again.
I love finding those crabs for
the crabs are so stupid.
Calypso
gotta find
or whatever
the ingredients. Yeah, Calypso.
Can
you fucking Jack Sparrow was made out of crabs in that game.
So, I feel like everybody was made of crabs.
Most of the fights are retreads of old fights, but I guess the cool thing that they added was that you could play as the other characters.
Yeah,
you just play.
I did.
Oh, I did. I absolutely
I did it every single time. I had the choice.
Yeah.
It was cool.
What were the choices? It was Roxas was the first one.
It depends on which one of the hallways in this stupid labyrinth right. you decide to go down.
Yeah. So like there was Riku. You could play as Riku. You could play as Roxas, and you could play as Aqua
yep.
in those fights. Mm-hmm. And I did it every single time, obviously.
Yeah, because it's way cooler being them. Also, they seem stronger than Sora.
In a normal case, they would be, but since I was level 99, like, it was, like, way harder to play as
yeah.
other
Yeah, and that's fair. If you have, like, the ultimate weapon and you're doing all this
yeah.
bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did it anyway just for fun, but go ahead.
I was afraid to. I was a coward. Because I was afraid it was going to be hard, or I wasn't going to have any of my potions on me. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't get to remap the buttons. You don't get to re-equip. Items. So
but it sounds like Sora's strength really is his friend because he's weak as shit and stupid. So
yes, both of those things is true.
So did I tell you guys? I think I tweeted or I DM'd you guys about this when I first started. I tried to play this DLC at first, but there must have been some like cloud save issue when I beat the game yeah. a year ago, and it made
yeah.
me redo that Scala El Kalem whatever the fuck fight
the last fight
so I had to like Jesus. Remind myself how to do the fucking controls in the game again while I was yeah, fighting yeah. the goat men flying around
the final boss of the game
yeah and I did and I became hashtag my mentor and I beat it and then I immediately had to go back
and do it again
and do it again
ombudsman Yensid
yes so yeah. I immediately had to do everything again. Which is fine because I do like fighting everybody in that dumb labyrinth and getting their little cutscenes whenever they disappear.
It's the tempo is so bad for those fights.
It's very weird.
Interrupt.
It's like, oh, hold on, everybody. Hold on. We gotta watch the card guy disappear for 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you the wild card.
Yeah, yeah.
Persona.
We'll talk about that later for sure. But
Luxord.
Yeah. You could play as the other characters, which I thought was like, I like doing it. Like, I like playing as those characters, but it was very limited in what you could do.
Yeah.
So it was pretty much just playing that end of the game over again. And I think I said this to Russ, like, right after I beat it. I was like, this just should have been the ending the first time around.
It's
like, they should have
like,
just let you do this.
It's almost like the last game was overbaked and they just needed to poop it out.
Yeah. It's almost as if that's the case.
Well,
yeah.
But they add some really sweet shit after you do beat up all these guys.
Yeah, the next portion of that section is... You get to see what everyone else was doing while Sora was in Scala Ad Kylum.
Yes.
Right.
And like there's that sky fight where you basically play as all the other Keyblade wielders, which I really liked, even
yeah.
though it was kind of just a mini game, but like,
yeah, you get to control
cool
them
looking.
All at once while they're fighting all the 13 bad guys or whatever.
The goat guys, yeah.
Why are there like so many of him?
Darkness, I guess.
Like I understand that there's like Organization 13 and there's like oh it's like all the dudes we just beat the hell out of and then they disappeared. But then there's like 13 goat men too.
He just split himself. He just used they're probably
is he splitting
he can
himself?
Manifest. He can manifest imagination itself via Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Was that really remember. Was that it?
Maybe. I'm gonna.
I didn't think he had actually opened figures. Kingdom Hearts all the way yet.
No, it's.
But he was in the world of. He was in the heart of Kingdom Hearts, which.
Yeah.
I
thought it might have been time traveling versions of himself.
I don't think it's that. I
thought he was doing like a funny Valentine or something. Like it was just.
I think he was just. He summoned like entities of darkness to just go fight them.
Kind of. The entities of darkness that kind of look like him. They're just wearing goat
outfits.
Yeah,
yeah. Like he's not very creative.
He's just like, I gotta find like the 12 guys that are wearing goat outfits to hang out with me.
Yeah, basically.
But you do get
that
really
cool
fight.
You have that sky fight. Oh, they're called replica Xehanorts.
Oh, whoa. Are they like replicas though?
I guess they are
replicants from Blade Runner.
From Blade Runner, yeah.
Fucking Xehanort goes home and fucks his big hologram wife.
Yeah. Yeah. God. But yeah, like he just made these replicas of himself to go fight people in the sky.
Can he split his heart into pieces or something and put them in replicas?
I think that's what he did before.
He okay. did it to Kyrie. He did it to Kyrie.
He split Kyrie in five pieces.
Is this like a Horcrux?
No, it was seven pieces, but you only got five pieces.
Right.
That was weird.
But yeah, there. So you get that sky fight, and then you get Mickey doing the microwave hallway from MGS4.
That was the coolest shit.
Which fucking ruled, but I kept fucking it up. So
I like that. I like the song they use a lot, but it's like, I was like Tetsuya Nomura at one point, like, yo, we gotta do something special for Mickey. He's our guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
we can't just say that Mickey's doing the microwave hallway from MGS4 without explaining what the fuck was happening there. So what happens?
What's that explaining? He was doing the microwave hallway from
MGS4. Okay. So to kind of explain this to the listener who may or may not have played
the
DLC.
I'm sorry, Professor Mickey is a man of academia, and sometimes they use terms that are just
sorry,
I'm just trying to. Like, I'm trying to as Assistant Professor Yensid, Ombudsman Yensid. I'm trying to step in here and dumb things down for the layman.
For the layman.
Yeah. What happens is after Sora goes to Inception Town to go save Kyrie and pick up crystal pieces of her heart, all the other Keyblade wielders fly up in the sky and fight the 13 goat men. And you do that mini game, and it's basically like them just kind of flying around in a circle and then like all guarding at once. And it looks
really cool.
It looks insanely cool. And then you do like get little zoom ins of like being each one of them and like, beating the shit out of a goat man. But then
it's more Dragon Ball Z than I think even Final Fantasy has ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most Dragon Ball Z.
It is basically, I thought I was playing the Kakarot game.
It leans fully into the shonen anime thing, which I insist Kingdom Hearts is just shonen anime.
Oh, 100%. But like that happens. And then towards the end of the fight, they open up a bunch of keyholes in the sky, and then like all the Keyblade wielders get knocked into those and get like separated, except for Mickey, and he's floating there in the sky and he's getting his ass kicked by all the goat men. And then Sora's heart goes inside of him, I guess.
So he's not like controlling him, but he's like
encouraging
him basically.
Because he got connected because he through his connection with Riku. Right.
Yeah.
And so he goes and helps Mickey and gives him the power to crawl in the sky while all these like goat men are charging at him.
13
and
goat men beat the shit out of him.
We didn't even talk about one of the weirdest parts of the whole thing where it's
we'll go back to the
where fucking Sora is not allowed to meet his past self, and then Xehanort goes like, you fool, you were late, your little friend. Yourself has arrived, so now you have to go away.
Oh yeah, that happens like, when you're in Skalad Kiln.
He's like, we need you to exit stage left while we have this fight over here. So,
because it's like the time turner from the third Harry Potter book.
Harry Potter,
It's because if they see each other, it'll be fucked up. What would happen if they did do that in Harry Potter? Do you think, like, would something really bad happen, or did J.K. Rowling just not even think?
They'd become even more transphobic.
Yeah, they
wouldn't poop JK their pants.
Yeah.
You know how it's frowned upon to like your own tweets? It's basically that.
They'd get somebody would screenshot him and say, "Not a good look."
Exactly.
You get your ass canceled.
Probably.
Hatsune Miku would become the owner of Kingdom Hearts.
She might be in another Kingdom Hearts game if they make another one, honestly.
Entirely possible.
Could happen.
Anyway, so Sora meanwhile is running around Skalad Kylum looking for the other parts of Kyrie, and then he is like, oh, I need to find the other two parts, and then he goes and connects with Riku and Mickey, and then that's when the microwave hallway.
Mickey is crawling through the sky, parrying attacks from all these goat men. And then and then Sora jumps out of him and like opens up all the keys or something like that, right?
Yeah. They do the father and son Kamehameha.
They do a father son Kamehameha, and he like he points his keyblade at all the little keyholes in the sky and connects them all with light, and then all the keyblade wielders jump out and are like, we're here, and then they kill the goatmen.
Yep.
It's cool.
It's very cool.
The goatmen are dead, yes.
And then where does he get those last two pieces of Kyrie's heart?
They were stored in the Goatmen, I think.
Yeah. Five of them were in Skala Ad Calum, and then the other two were on the outside. So it's really actually helpful that he told Sora to leave. he could have just trapped
really
him
helped
there.
Him out. Yeah. He could have been like, oh, I have him.
Xehanort is just a messy bitch who loves the drama.
Yeah,
like,
so he jumps out, and then the bitch jumped out, and then he Kairi comes back. Right? Uh-huh. Like, because all of her heart pieces come, and then they beat the shit out of Xehanort.
They beat the shit out of Xehanort. And, Alan, did you play as Kairi for that?
I did.
It's fucked up how, like, she can just, like, zip her, like, across the room. Like,
she's, like, in permanent just, like, darkness mode all the time.
Yeah, it's wild. Kairi is insanely powerful.
She's way.
Kairi's the secret most important character in the Final Fantasy franchise. I have the Kingdom Hearts.
I mean,
franchise,
same thing.
So.
Yeah.
She's not a fucking simp like Sora, who has to rely on his friends. She's strong.
She kicked ass in the
Donald can use the Zeta Flare.
Yeah, everyone is stronger than Sora. Literally everyone is stronger than Sora.
It's just like Sonic. All Sonic can do is run. That's a joke, by the way.
Sonic turns supersonic and it's really cool.
Yeah. It is. I'm joking.
You can't use chaos control, though. That's something.
No, he can't.
Please don't use parliamentary procedure against me, Ombudsman Yen Sid.
I'm getting the big parliamentary mace out. It's a keyblade.
Oh, no.
It has an eyeball on it. Every time Parliament clashes, I get one of these.
Also, there's some angel wing symbolism to... Sora and Kairi. And
So as someone who has been invested in the Kingdom Hearts series since he was 11 years old, I thought the wing thing was cool because if you look at the feathers that come off the wings, they have like little like clips from of the Sora Kairi scenes from all the other Kingdom Hearts games.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I know that happened. That was really cool.
I feel like my brain had been overloaded at that point.
Yeah,
I was. I was super high, and I was like, "Whoa, wow! Robbie's got to do this at his wedding."
Yeah,
Robbie,
so
you got to fly down.
fucking wedding, fucking giant wings.
All the moments between you and your partner, and then I know, like, I'm gonna sneak in on one of them.
Sure.
It's just gonna be one of me, like, hey, what's up?
It's gonna be like Russ is eating a hot dog.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get him in there.
But yeah, like the Sora, they really lean hard on the Sora Kairi shipping in the entire.
They're basically married.
It is very funny how so much of this DLC hinges around two characters who haven't seen each other in about
20 years.
In game, like, also, like, just aren't that, like, it tries to force this relationship that, like, I was trying. Okay, so for you guys, like, this probably made very little sense how they, like, suddenly care about each other way more.
What?
Right?
I mean, I got that from the end of the main thing.
Right.
Because, like, he...
But, Russ, like you know, like, these characters barely interact in the series, right?
I get it's that classic thing where, to the fans, I don't think the Sora Kairi story has been... Kingdom Hearts 2 pretty much dropped it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, Sora is far more interested in finding Riku in that game than anyone
else. And,
but he can't be gay.
Yeah, but he's not allowed to.
He's not allowed to, even though he's the only person that Riku will smile at. Cannot be gay. Kairi is just his random, like, scene girl GF with, like, the rar monster hoodie. Like, the little ears on it.
Yeah. The little ears on it.
It's cool. Yeah. It's but pretty anyways, cool. I like that hoodie.
I like that hoodie.
I was explaining this. I was like, as someone who, like, has played
with your lecture hall of students, to your lecture hall full of
with
students.
With my lecture hall full of students. I was thinking to myself, like, the reason I care about this is because they make you think that these characters care about each other a lot in the first game. And when that first game came out, I was 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for, like, 15 years, I'm like, yeah, these characters care about each other. Like, of course they do. Why wouldn't they care? They're in love. Like, I was 11 when I heard about this. They love each other.
This is the one girl he's met so far. They're in love.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, they love each other. Of course, this is how it ends up. But, like, to anybody else, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Of course they don't. They barely
They were on that island together. They love each other.
Yeah, they share the pow-poo fruit. What are you talking about?
What, the poo-poo fruit? What are you talking about?
The poo-poo fruit.
I shouldn't have made her eat the poo-poo fruit.
I shouldn't have made her eat the poo-poo fruit. Please, Alan, they shared the poo-poo fruit. Come
they
on.
Did, but they did it, Robbie. That was a they big did. Thing.
It was a drawing.
what is this?
Anyway. But yeah, like and because of that, I really like the ending where they like go on their little tour of all what everyone else is up to, like, and they help like Chirithi go find Ventus, and like they're on the tower in Twilight Town. And
was I supposed to know who Chirithi was? I didn't play Birth by Sleep.
He's just a small creature. You can all change
Chirithi,
this.
He's Chirithi just a small creature.
Chirithi is from Kingdom Hearts Union Cross, right, which is the mobile game. And Chirithi is a dream. I had to explain this to Alan earlier.
Dream Eater.
Yeah, Chirithi is a Dream Eater, which is basically a Pokemon.
And he's Ventus's Pokemon, right?
And he's Ventus's Pikachu. So that is why Chirithi but Ventus doesn't really remember Chirithi because Ventus's memory was wiped before Birth by Sleep happened. But Chirithi remembers Ventus.
Does Vanitas have a?
Is in. Okay, so Vanitas.
Evil Chirithi?
Did not have an evil Chirithi.
when you DM that mutual that you haven't talked to in years and you're like, hey, what's up? And they're like, who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
I've had you muted for like a decade now.
I we were weird Twitter friends. You blew me up one Friday.
That's me and Barack Obama.
Chirithi is that friend.
Chirithi is that friend.
Yo,
you got a podcast? Can I be on sometime? Chirithi.
So there is like with the Kingdom Hearts Union Cross story, there is a like murder mystery happening. Whoa. Basically. And a character was killed by a mysterious figure and nobody knows who it was. But the speculation is that it was Ventus who killed that character. But it was like the darkness residing inside of Ventus, which is why Vanitas was pulled out of Ventus by Master Xehanort to be his apprentice.
So there's a locked room mystery where we don't know who the victim. It's a Schrodinger's mystery.
It turns out it was 13 goat
men. Happening in a mobile game. And it's currently happening in a mobile game that nobody else plays.
So hold on. Game. The darkness inside of him killed somebody before he even got taken out and turned into Vanitas.
Yes.
Huh.
That's the theory. That's not confirmed in any way, but that's current. That's a theory about who killed.
But that's just a theory. A game theory.
It's a game.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, so that is who Chirithi is to Ventus.
He's got a little cape.
And then they show a little clip of like all those little clips, and then
Donald
like,
and Daisy making out.
Donald and Daisy making out and having sex in front of everybody.
Seeing those duck boobs.
Getting weird. And then there's
making
the part
some Hueys, Deweys, and Louies.
He does a Zeta come.
Sora helps
It's
Kyrie.
Called a classic corkscrew finish.
God. Yeah, it's called Duck Flare is what it's called. There's the part where Sora helps remove Naminé's heart from Kairi's heart to put it in the replica body. Like that happens, and then they're on the tree, and then Sora fades away, and then that's the same as the normal.
Naminé's basically Kairi and Sora's daughter, right?
Naminé is Kairi's nobody.
But how
she's real?
But she was inside of Sora's heart.
Naminé was in Kairi's heart.
Leon voice, I wouldn't be a nobody. I'm different.
Yes.
She is different, though.
She is different. They don't explain why she looks different, and they don't explain... Like, they explain why Roxas looks different to some degree, but they do not explain why Naminé looks different. So,
I think she's their kid, kind of.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Maybe.
But yeah, that's the ending. That's how that ends.
And
then
now,
there's a little bit after...
Yeah, and then of course Lushu,
Zigbar's Lushu.
Yeah,
what's up with that?
we didn't get any more info from the base game, so
no.
They just
told us, hey, you used to be called Luxu, whatever the fuck. And he's like, I'm Zygmar now.
There's Luxu. One little tiny clue. There's one morsel of a clue in the limit cut stuff.
Yeah.
Little tasty morsel.
Little
lay it on me. Put this on my plate. Littler.
Well, okay, we should just jump to limit cut then. Limit cut is a boss rush mode, basically.
Mm. In a computer.
In a computer.
Sid's computer.
It's the return of the Final Fantasy VII characters.
One Final Fantasy VIII character.
Yeah, well, of course one Final Fantasy VIII character. And they're all hanging out. They're having a good time and shit.
Mm-hmm.
They've been relegated to a cameo with about four or five lines of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically fight through all these bosses in the Kingdom Hearts 2 through 3, the different, or 1, yeah. It's just a boss rush of characters in the Kingdom Hearts 3 engine. You beat them all, and was there even any plot stuff you got?
Well, hold on.
That?
There was that little cutscene at the beginning where they're explaining that everybody's looking for Sora. And it's like Aqua and Aqua Terra Inventus. They're looking at dreams. Who's dreams?
They're going. I thought they were going to the realm of.
They're going darkness? To the realm of darkness. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's going in dreams, right?
That's Kyrie.
Kyrie's in Dream World.
Yes. And yes. Twilight Town are. They're going through Roxas Shion's memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because Ienzo is there, and he's like, he's got her jacked into the Matrix or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The grid, thank you.
The grid.
There's a lot of canon, there's a lot of data stuff here. So they're a
lot of data
stuff. So they go and like Sid's computer has like a data Sora inside of it, and they're like, well, maybe if we get data Sora to beat up all these bad guys, then we'll figure something out.
Yeah. And they kinda do, I guess.
So what happens after you beat up the bad guys? Because none of us did it because it seems like horseshit.
So when you beat up the bad guys, all of them, you get to fight Yezora after that.
Yeah, in a special episode. Isn't that an extra episode?
Yeah, it is.
It's a secret episode.
Nothing. Okay, so what happens after you beat? Okay, so I'm reading about what happens when you beat the limit cut bosses. After all 13 copies are defeated, the data analysis shows up an inconclusive error, forcing Riku and Leon's gang back to square one. The fairy godmother then appears at Merlin and Yensid's request to aid them, and has Riku recount the strange dream he's been having.
The dream
is the Yezora, the original secret movie that came up after Kingdom Hearts 3.
With him waking up in the streets and stuff.
Yes, that's Riku's dream. He finds himself in an unfamiliar city surrounded by tall buildings while a mysterious figure observes him from atop a skyscraper. He can't recall what happens next, but she claims she knows because dreams are her specialty. She explains that the wizard sent her to Riku because due to his time in Sora's dreams, the key to finding Sora might be in his dreams and the other two. I don't know what that means.
So Kyrie's, he wakes up in the Shibuya Scramble and sees Yezora in the dream.
Yes. Kyrie's sleeping body in Ansem's lab and the daytime version of the final world are then shown. So what I'm thinking is the next game will have playable Kyrie and Riku. And maybe also playable Sora.
Maybe playable Yezora.
Playable Yezora.
I'm tasting all the return of all of our favorite Dream Drop Distance.
I'm thinking it's going to be a Dream Drop Distance
but
situation.
We should talk about the secret episode, actually.
The secret episode is them meeting on a rooftop. Is Yezora and Sora?
Sort of. Kinda. So the secret episode is when he shows up in the final world, but it's like the nighttime version of it.
Yeah.
Right? And Yezora's there also, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
I was sent to protect Sora, and then he's like, well, I'm Sora. And he's like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
No, you're not Sora. Someone else is Sora. So then they fight. Then the scene turns into the rooftop of that
building in Shibuya.
Shibuya Scramble. Yeah. The 104 building, which I will bring up again later because it has something to do with something else. But and then they fight on top of it, and then there are two different endings depending on if you beat Yezora.
Depending on if you're a normal human or if you're like an
basically
if you're
a
Terminator.
If you killed Sans Undertale and were a monster.
Yeah. You turn into crystal. So if Yezora beats Sora, Sora turns into a crystal, and then you get the part where Yezora wakes up in the car. And then if you beat Yezora, I think...
He turns into light, and then you still get the thing where he wakes up in the car, but Sora's narrating.
In the car, but it's a little longer, yeah. And then you get the him doing the if any of this is for real or for not thing from the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah.
So the little monologue is from the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 1. Which
there is, I can't remember which was the one where he like smiles at him.
I think the good ending, which is the one where you beat him.
Yeah. So if you beat him, Yozora is like, he's like, I guess it's not my time to help you or whatever. And then he turns into light and like disappears and like smiles at you.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of Riku.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that there's something about him, this being connected with Riku's dreams, that maybe Yezora is like some sort of weird, like, replica of Riku.
Dream Riku.
Dream Riku.
Yeah, dream, yeah.
Okay, maybe. Should we just cut it here and be, oh, I guess we need to talk about the good ending, which is.
That was the good ending.
That was the good ending. The bad ending is when he turns Sora into crystal and then is like, I'll save you eventually or something.
Right.
But they both end with him waking up in the car.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So I guess...
Which is from Final Fantasy 15, by the way.
Yes.
It's not, actually. I need to explain that because...
It looks like it's Final
it's
Fantasy 15.
Not from Final Fantasy 15. So, Russ, do you mind if I do this?
No, okay? Professor Mickey, you have the floor.
Okay, so back in, 2008, Final Fantasy 15 was called Final Fantasy Versus 13. It was a spinoff of Final Fantasy 13, part of Fabula Nova Crystallis, which was their like project.
I remember seeing this at
E3. Using the Crystal Engine.
So, yes, using the Crystal Engine. So... Final Fantasy Versus 13 is a completely different game than Final Fantasy 15. It uses the same characters and designs, but the setting is different and the story.
There was a lot of guns, I remember, and like people like running around and like stuff exploding.
Yes.
It looked more like Verum Rex, honestly.
This is the point I'm going to make.
Yeah.
The ending scene when Yezora is in the car is a shot-for-shot remake of the opening portion of the Final Fantasy Versus 13 trailer.
Right.
It's exactly the same.
So whew.
I think Nomura is using that as a vehicle to make his vision of Final Fantasy Versus 13 happen within the constraints of Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, he's like, remember that good E3 video we showed you like 10 years ago?
I want to make that.
It's Verum Rex, baby, Bahamut.
Yeah, exactly.
You yelled at me for 10 years to make a Kingdom Hearts game. I did make it. Fuck you, I finished it. Now we will make the game I always wanted to make, which is about the boy with the gun and the sword, not the gun sword.
And two separate things.
And he
tells everybody to suck his cocktus, and then he does his.
He does say that.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing about that is that it takes place in Shibuya, which is where The World Ends With You takes place.
Yeah,
right.
And with Sora being like dead, it kind of ties into Shibuya being purgatory, like it is in The World Ends With You.
So here's the other thing. I know that they said he was like misusing the power of waking. Is that, is that just why he just like, he's kind of dead now? Is he just like, did it too much?
I think that's what it is.
He committed a taboo.
He fucked with the time turner too bad and he got sent to Shibuya like Harry Potter would have.
Yes.
If he accidentally saw himself when he was saving Buckbeak or whatever the fuck.
Exactly.
Yes, Buckbeak, our old friend.
Yeah, the one, the very important character that definitely had other stuff to
loves.
Do.
Yeah.
Okay, Ravi, should I share what the fans are arguing about on Reddit?
Sure.
I love hearing about arguments on Reddit.
People are going crazy about this. The guy, the driver of Yezora in that final scene is the same voice actor as Luxord.
Yes. Yeah.
And everybody is hinging every single individual belief they have in their little heart
right
to He's also the IMDb. He's also the voice actor for Davy Jones in this game.
Yeah, so. he's a very famous voice actor.
I'm thinking that Davy Jones might be Luxord.
Luxord, yeah.
He's able to exist without a heart in his body. So remember the hearts in the body.
Oh, that's true.
Very important to Luxord. Yeah. But yeah, so a lot of, and then Luxord gave Sora the wild card.
Yeah.
And I've saw a thread on Reddit arguing whether the wild card is what connected Sora to Yzora.
Yeah. I think that makes more sense than anything else. I think the wild card, because I love the world Ends With You so much, I want to believe that all of this stuff is tying into it being The World Ends With You, and that Luxord is a Reaper doing the Reaper's game with Sora so that he can get his soul back and go back to, you know, being Sora. But
how involved was Tetsuya Nomura with The World Ends With You?
He was the director.
He was into it. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I think it ties in directly to The World Ends With You, and also those characters being in Dream Drop Distance and being like, oh, we'll see you in Shibuya.
It has to be if they're doing the Shibuya thing in the first place, because why else would they be doing it?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
I wouldn't think Tetsuya Nomura would just do something completely just random.
Oh, no, of course not. He always has a plan. Are you kidding me? Like,
he knows for sure what Mom's name is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well,
Professor Mickey, I didn't want to do this to you.
Okay.
But I was pretty sure you were wrong.
Okay.
He did not direct or write The World Ends
With You. Oh, really?
He is just the producer on it.
Oh, fuck, man. All right. I guess my only, I'm not a professor of The World Ends With You, unfortunately, but I guess the only tie I have to it is the fact that those characters show up in Dream Drop Distance and directly really? Name drop Shibuya. So
yes.
So that's all I got.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the theory that the Master of Masters is Demix?
I hate that theory because I fucking hate Demix.
Demix rules.
I hate him so much. He's such a dweeb.
He rules. He's got a sitar.
He says Demix time.
Of the giggly motherfuckers, he's the giggliest.
He does. Look at this thing. He's doing all the exact same gestures.
My other theory was that the Master of Masters is time traveling Sora.
Well, yeah. Oh, wait. Didn't we talk about that like in the previous episode? Yeah. Like,
yeah, we did.
That's very likely.
Yeah. Very stupid, but also likely.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I hope it's Demix.
I hope it's not Demix, but I also kind of do hope it's Demix.
That would be so cool if Demix was just like turned out to be this, you know, this mastermind.
Very super important character.
Yeah, and you thought he was just a big goofy guy with that said Demix time.
Yeah.
So is the next Kingdom Hearts game going to be Final Fantasy 13 versus Butt-Verum Rex?
Maybe. Maybe
Professor Mickey, you're the prophet. This is what you should know.
You know, nothing has confused me more than the release of Remind. Nothing has made me less sure of anything than this game.
I'm looking at some stuff here. I'm looking at the TV Tropes wild mass guessing page for Kingdom Hearts 3.
In astrophysics, what's the equivalent of Remind, Alan? Like the thing that just broke everybody's brain. Like there is.
It's probably like dark matter or something.
Yeah, Remind is.
I can't think
matter.
Of anything more appropriate than dark.
Well,
matter.
So I'm looking at some. I'm looking at some theories on TV Tropes. Yzora is Kairi and Sora's son.
That's shitty. I fucking
get
off.
They
TV
said
Tropes.
That's why his powers aren't needed yet. Sora's. He's
going
to make it back, so he didn't have time to time travel to ensure his
existence.
I don't want to
hear any of this shit. I'm done with this.
The DLC is a stable time loop. I don't know why that matters or what that means.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
The other thing is there's going to be a possible Verum Rex spinoff. That's probably going to happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That sounds cool.
Yes. Verum Rex,
I'd buy that.
Verum Rex will be a thing.
Yeah,
do you think his weapons release it as his Verum Rex, and then the Kingdom Hearts stuff will happen at the end, kind of like how at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3 the Verum Rex happened.
I hope so.
That would be legit. That would be pretty fucking sweet.
Here's some other theories. The entire secret episode was Yozora's own dive to the heart awakening experience.
That's interesting.
I also saw some people arguing that the Sora in that secret episode was a fake Sora.
Interesting.
And that he was killing the fake Sora or a Sora duplicate or something of that. Because why would Yozora want to kill Sora if he's trying to rescue him?
Yeah. It's kind of like a shonen anime when you like two guys meet up and they don't know who one of the other ones is, so they fight each other and then they become friends.
It's also another anime thing that somebody thought was like the girl that like Yozora is in love with is also named Sora or something, and that's why he's like, you're not Sora or something.
You're not my girlfriend.
Exactly. you're not. Where are your boobs? So that's what they. That's another theory that I think is fucking stupid.
Here's another theory. Verum Rex is a movie that Disney and Square Enix are collaborating on.
Jesus.
Listen, The Spirits Within, not the hit we wanted it to be.
But
Verum Rex.
These are some of the worst. These are some of the worst things I've ever seen.
They love cinematic universes. Okay, here we have Verum Rex. It ends. Fucking Sora steps out, join the Kingdom Hearts initiative, and then every Disney movie can lead into a Kingdom Hearts spectacular.
God.
I'm reading some of these awful, other awful theories. Avalon and the Hundred Acre Woods are the same place. Why?
This sucks. I hate all of these theories.
Casting Zeta Flare killed Donald.
I believe that one.
Yeah,
that one,
isn't that true?
That one's
true. No, but he came to Signa Ed Calum, unless that was Sora manifesting.
I thought that, like, he collapsed, and like, but he would have. This has maybe the worst phrase I've ever seen. Yes, he was breathing when he collapsed, but he would have died shortly. Sora time traveling back using the Nort method. The Nort method and activating Lingering Will changed the timeline so Donald never cast it.
Lingering William, my favorite character.
Birds are, by technicality, dragons. What does this have to do with anything? That's how he can cast Zeta Flare. I hate this shit.
Yeah.
TV tropes. Retired.
TV tropes, we gotta drop.
Is Sora one of the princesses of heart since he got crystallized?
Well, I don't think Kairi got crystallized. I think Xehanort used ancient heart magic.
Heart magic.
Yeah, he's Horcrux making magic.
I'm so confused.
Okay.
The Simpsons
hearts, baby.
Simpsons and/or King of the Hill might have worlds or characters in future titles.
No, Fuck this. All close right. The website.
All this lore and theories, they are giving us an existential crisis. So that was the last segment I wanted for this show. Because if I'm going to have Professor Mickey on, I'm going to ask him. I have a rough idea of what Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 are about. You might be able to tell me what Birth by Sleep is about.
Okay.
So Kingdom Hearts 1, it's about growing up, being in your friend's shadow, not feeling like you're worth anything, and then learning, you know, self-importance, and then Sora grows up a little bit and takes on responsibility for his actions and shit. Right? Yeah,
that Kingdom, sounds right.
Kingdom Hearts 2, it gets muddier, but on the surface level, it's about growing up, you and your friends growing distant, even... a lot about memories and forgetting the people who are close to you and how that's just a part of growing up. But also, you know, don't forget your friends and friendship and stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of muddied by the end, but that's like the theme of Kingdom Hearts 2, kind of, right?
I think Kingdom Hearts 2 is more informed by the fact that Chain of Memories is about getting gaslit over and over.
Yeah.
About what Bernie is doing to the Democratic Party.
Yeah. What is Kingdom Hearts 3 plus Rebind about, Robbie?
Oh, boy.
I have a good answer for this, but I'm going to let Robbie do his first.
Professor Mickey, please, Ombudsman Jensen, can you calm down for a minute?
You know what? You, some inside baseball here. You prepared me for this question by telling me that this was going to be the last segment, and I've been thinking about it for like a week, and I don't think I know at all. if there is one, if there is an overall.
Is Kingdom Hearts 3 homework that you need to finish to make sure the Kingdom Hearts games are kind of over, but not really?
I think once you get past Birth by Sleep, they just stop having overarching themes. Wait, now that I think about it, like, okay, so Birth by Sleep and 358 over 2 days are probably the last two that had any meaningful character writing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, after that, it's just, like, nonsense.
Why does Sora keep talking about being hurt? He talks about that a lot.
I don't know. I don't know why.
Lads, I have the answer.
Okay, Alan, go for it.
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Hashtag our mentor.
Kingdom Hearts 3. Specifically, Remind.
I don't like this.
Is the message of it is the exact same as the message of Twin Peaks: The Return.
Oh my god.
Think about it.
Yes.
At the end of Twin Peaks: The Return, Dale Cooper decides, even though I beat Bob, even though everything's good, it's still not done. I have to go back. I have to save Laura Palmer. I have to go back in time and do this. And in doing so, he fucks everything else up. He winds up in Shibuya too, basically. In a sense, what year is it? Sora is like Dale Cooper. He is this figure that is constantly fighting against fate, that is constantly trying to undo the kind of the machinery of the universe that's already been set in motion. But he can't.
There are no two characters closer than Dale Cooper and Sora from King.
They're trapped in the, hey, you know that, you know that Dale Coopy parody account where he said, I'm trapped in the crystal?
Oh,
hey, guess what?
Oh, boy. I think introducing Alan to Kingdom Hearts is one of the greatest decisions I've ever made in my whole life.
Yuzora is Yuzora Dougie Jones.
Hey, guess what, Russ? Dougie Jones is the nobody and Dark Cooper is the heartless. Have you ever thought about this?
Okay, crack the code. Crack the fucking code.
I'm saying that I think Twin Peaks and Kingdom Hearts are the same. I think it's real.
I think you might be right. So I think Alan's the closest.
And I will. Okay, I'm going to give Alan. Oh my gosh, I got a letter from Kingdom Hearts University.
I'm the dean.
You've got up. You are Dean Ratatouille now.
Dean Little Chef.
Dean Little Chef.
Oh my god.
I think that I also really liked whenever there was that 8 minute like zoom in on the Kingdom Hearts moon while Threnody for the Victims of Hiroshima played in the background. That was cool. I liked it when Vanitas walked up to Sora and said, "Got a light." It was great.
Yep, that happened.
Okay. There was that interview that Tetsuya Nomura had where he's like, "I hate Sora. I think Sora is stupid. He is my enemy now." Remember when he used to be like, Sora's like a young boy who only wishes for innocence and freedom.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And he's like, "I hate this dumb fucking kid. I'm going to kill him."
Yeah. Maybe he truly has become like a Dougie Jones or a Dale Cooper, where he is now punishing Sora for pushing past the limits. Oh, that Tetsuya Nomura has been trapped in the world of Kingdom Hearts. He just wanted to make his Final Fantasy magnum opus. And now he feels confined by Sora.
I'm looking for the quote here. Let's see here.
This could also be a Miyazaki thing where it was a fake quote.
Well, here's,
no, it definitely was.
This is
real.
Essentially the same as David Lynch making The Return, in that the Twin Peaks The Return was a commentary upon nostalgia and how you can never truly ever go back, in a sense. You can't use the power of waking.
You can't. That's a okay.
He committed the taboo.
I found the quote. It's, "I actually don't sympathize or empathize with Sora at all," Nomura says. Instead, he relates to the game's mysterious villains, Xehanort or likely Ansem, men who's fallen prey to their dark natures. "I think I'm closer to those characters. So Sora is like my enemy," he says. "How I always think of him is I would unleash my attacks on him, and then I draw him in a way that I think he will be able to make a comeback at me. In that sense, I really think that Sora is just like an opposite personality character to who I am."
So I guess the message of Kingdom Hearts 3 is that Kingdom Hearts is bad. It's the Watchmen of video games.
I think he just should have given it to someone else who likes it instead of kept
him. But he made this masterpiece in a way. I think I get it.
I like Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't know why. I can't tell you why.
You just feel it.
I like it.
Same.
Kingdom Hearts is a tone poem. Kingdom Hearts is a tone poem that you just feel it more than you understand it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I definitely feel it.
It's hey, guess what? Remember when David Lynch was like, I had the Yozora dream again. Guys, I'm saying that there is a lot more common than you would think, and I have only scratched the surface.
I think Kingdom Hearts is high art, probably, since it's making me feel complicated feelings about it.
I'm thinking that Tutatabon and Donald might be the same. I don't know anymore.
I think we have to end this before Alan's head explodes.
I've seen the code. I've become code Alan. I've absorbed all of Jimmy's journal.
Dean Ratatouille, I'm sorry.
Alan
is now turning into that one Bloodborne Dean character who
the slime scholar.
The slime scholar who is being reduced to slime because
Alan
he has too
Alan
much
is
insight.
Alan is Mikalosh.
Oh, I feel like I have seen a dark knowledge. I've become Father Blackwood in season 3 of Sabrina.
Oh my god!
I've got the egg.
He's got the egg. You've got
the wife egg. Did you see?
Oh, you know what? Season 3 of Sabrina and Watchmen HBO kind of all revolve around an egg.
Kind of the same. Yeah.
2001, I'm playing Kingdom Hearts 1. It's 2011, I'm watching Lost for the first time. David Lindelof.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to do a digging around to see if anybody else has made this connection between Twin Peaks The Return and Kingdom Hearts 3.
I'm sure someone has.
Now, I'm not saying that all of Kingdom Hearts 3 is like Twin Peaks The Return, but also all of Twin Peaks The Return isn't Twin Peaks The Return. A lot of it's just watching a man in a green suit just kind of stand around to make a goofy face.
Or somebody
that's all the
hair.
Disney worlds.
Oh, man. Luxord is the guy red that throws that thing up in the air and it never comes down. Okay. I have to get down from this ledge.
Well, we have reminded ourselves of Kingdom Hearts. We have one fan question.
Okay.
Well, it's really a series of fan questions from one fan.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Let's do one at a time.
Okay. When Sora this is from our friend Rory Machel. Mm-hmm. He says, when Sora said Kingdom Hearts was actually light at the end of Kingdom Hearts 1 or 2, was that just bullshit?
Huh.
Yes.
Probably.
Because Sora doesn't know anything.
Sora is canonically a dipshit.
Canonically. I love him like my son, but he is definitely a dumbass.
I like that, like...
He's a himbo.
In screenwriting terms, you want a character who doesn't know anything so you can explain things to him. But also, nobody explains anything.
Nobody explains anything.
Anything. You think he's the audience surrogate, but it's not.
No. So yes, I think it's bullshit. I don't think he knows what Kingdom Hearts is. I think he made an assumption that worked out for him.
Yes. Well, and at the time, he was like, there's light in all of us. But
yeah.
He's only gone darker
I guess if you think of the context, Ansem was saying that the heart of all worlds is darkness. And that was wrong, according to Sora. Anyway.
Okay. And one last question. Why does Sora travel back in time? To save his friends, but does nothing when Donald casts Zeta Flare, which kills him again.
I think we already touched on this. He doesn't actually kill him.
It doesn't kill
him. He's so strong.
Donald is so strong. Strong.
Mm-hmm. He's stronger than Bahamut.
Why can't he cast it more often? It seems like it's basically like Megumin from Konosuba. Like, she can only do that like once a day.
You know, Alan, I think they're the same character.
That would explain why I want to fuck Donald so much.
Alan!
Come on!
Come on!
I 3D printed Donald's thighs.
We gotta be Donald honest. No one's gonna get this far in this episode. It's Alan can say anything.
I've seen where we're going. We don't need eyes.
It's just like academia. If you get high enough, people can't stop you from saying whatever the fuck you want.
This is just it's I'm doing the Kingdom Hearts equivalent of Steven Pinker.
Is this like God's Not Dead and you have to say you're an atheist?
I am constantly getting owned by religious college students who tell me about how the Kingdom Hearts really is light, and I'm like, no, it's not. Idiot, it's darkness.
I got cancer for saying it was darkness. So
I got run over by a car and while fucking Switchfoot concert was happening.
Yeah, and Ravi is the lead singer of that very successful Christian rock band. Ellie, yes. Hey, can you tone down the Kingdom Hearts' light lyrics, please?
You would be
much more popular and famous if you just toned down.
Kevin Sorbo played me in the movie.
Yes. God. You know, Kevin Sorbo played Hercules, and also Hercules is in Kingdom Hearts. So there you go.
Yeah. Kingdom Hearts not dead.
Kingdom Hearts not dead. I think that Kingdom Hearts might be the Kingdom Hearts of reality. of the real world.
Alan, that doesn't make any sense.
I think no, it does make sense, Ravi. This is at the nexus of all things in our world as well as in the... It is the source of all worlds. It's the heart of all worlds.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Does anybody have any plugs?
I don't. I don't have any plugs.
I'm plugging my cult that I'm making now.
Let's see. I was on a podcast recently. If you want to listen to a Sonic the Hedgehog thing, I was on my friend's anime podcast, and we talked about Sonic the Hedgehog, the OVA.
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
It's called Anime at the Gates. It's my friend Shane Hosey. You should check it out. It was a funny episode.
Fuck yes.
If you're like hungry for, because I'm assuming this is going to stand, this episode of I Can't Believe Goofy is Fucking Dead is going to stand where a Hogcast would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, check it out. We still got our Twitter, Hogcast SD, got a Patreon. Uh-huh. We got it all. Piss Goblin.
At Findom Earl on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Goomvy on Twitter. Don't fucking follow me though.
Yeah,
follow Robbie. He has good posts about basketball and stuff.
I'm just suffering constantly.
This man is exposing the deep state of the NBA.
I am doing that. That's
you are
true.
You are doctor disrespecting the NBA. Do you think DeAndre Ayton casts Zeta Piss?
Oh yeah, that's exactly what fucking happened. This we'll save this for another show, I'm sure.
I can't believe
DeAndre Ayton is fucking suspended.
For 25 games for taking the diuretic.
Devin Booker pops up. They'll pay for this.
Oh boy. Okay. Keep it simple and clean.
Keep it simple and clean.
Keep it simple and clean.